Have you take your Bibles this evening, if you would, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, that's page 1430 in the Pew Bibles. And tonight I want to preach a message related to Christmas from a text that really has nothing to do with Christmas. Now you say, well, Pastor, Luke 2, that's the most common Christmas passage, and it is. In fact, in the Pew Bibles, the heading for verses 1 through 20 is the birth of Jesus, but we're not going to be looking at those verses. We're going to be looking at the last 12 verses in the chapter. So verses 41 through 52 in Luke chapter 2. And this is the passage that tells us about the time when Jesus was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph lost him, so to speak, in Jerusalem. So what I want to do tonight is make some observations about losing Jesus, or maybe I should say losing sight of him, and apply them in the context of this Christmas season. So the title of the message tonight is Don't Lose Christ This Christmas. So let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that we have this time of year. And though we really don't know exactly the day upon which our Savior was born, it's good for us to just each year remember afresh His incarnation and all that that means to us, all the implications that flow from it, all the truths that it helps us remember about who Jesus is, why He came, what He has done for us. And I pray that as we spend some time this evening in your word, that you would use it to really confront us about not allowing all the distractions of this season to turn our focus away from the Lord Jesus. And some of those distractions are our problems in themselves, but many of them are good distractions, so to speak. Good things, appropriate things. And yet if we are not careful, it's in those very things, those good things, those proper things, that we can lose sight of Christ. We can drift away from Christ. And so I pray, Father, that your Spirit would just apply these truths in our lives and stir us to an earnestness and an eagerness about being revived, about being stirred afresh in our souls, about being drawn close to you, intimate with you. We just pray that you would use this time profitably in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So some of you may have heard the name of the old-time evangelist they called Gypsy Smith. His given name was Rodney. He was born in 1860 in England into a Romani family. And the Romani, or Roma as they're sometimes called, were an itinerant people. And they're often referred to by society at large using the slang expression of gypsies. And Rodney was saved from growing up in that particular community, saved as a teenager through the ministry of Ira Sankey, who some of you know is the song leader for D.L. Moody. And so Rodney Gypsy Smith was associated for a while with the Salvation Army from its earliest inception under the leadership of William Booth. And ultimately, Evangelist Smith spent nearly 70 years as an itinerant evangelist in both England and in the U.S. And he was just known by that name because of his background. And some of his good friends were Fanny Crosby, G. Campbell Morgan, Harry Ironside. And I was reading a commentary by Ironside on Luke 2 this week, and he mentioned that his friend Gypsy Smith often preached a very great sermon from our text on the subject, the lost Christ. And he said that Smith pointed out how it's possible to take it for granted that Jesus is in the company and yet be without Him. And, it's an interesting concept, and it got me thinking about Christmas. And in that sermon, Gypsy Smith had two main points. Number one, the experience of losing Christ happened to the most unlikely people. Number two, the experience of losing Christ happened in the most unlikely place. And so I'm going to adopt the ideas behind those two points this evening and then add a third. The experience of losing Christ happened at a most unlikely time. So let's go ahead and read the text here, starting in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They were good, strong, observant Jews. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, 3 days of searching, imagine that, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So let's just ask for God's blessing again. Father, just use this scripture now in our lives. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want you to think about this story from the life of Jesus for a minute. It concerns people who knew Jesus well, really well. People who were around Jesus all the time, but then they lost him. In the bustle, in the busyness of that trip, Jesus was somehow left behind in Jerusalem. And his parents traveled a whole day's journey without even knowing he was missing. And folks, I just want to suggest, and really just much of this message is applicational, just taking some of the ideas here and thinking about them in the context of our own walk with the Lord. This is akin to what sometimes happens to people who know Christ, like you and like me. In the busyness of life, you can lose sight of Him. And because of everything going on around you, you almost don't realize He's gone, so to speak. Now, He's not really gone, just as Jesus was not really lost in this text. But He sure seemed lost, so far as Mary and Joseph were concerned. And that's how it can seem sometimes to us. You know, where is Jesus? Where is the joy I once had in knowing Him? Why does it seem as if He has left me? One of the familiar hymn writers, a guy named William Cooper, he was an English poet. He wrote the hymn that we sing every time we observe the Lord's table. There is a fountain filled with blood. And another hymn that he wrote is called, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. And I want to read two stanzas from that hymn for you. Stanza 2, Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I then enjoyed. How sweet their memory still. But now I find an aching void the world can never fill. Now I wonder if you've ever had that feeling of having lost Jesus. Kind of what Cooper describes in this hymn. Maybe you're dealing with that right now. And if so, I hope the lessons from this story will be helpful to you. So what I want to do is just point to three lessons for us drawn from the ideas that Gypsy Smith mentioned and just kind of thinking of them applicationally. But here's the first lesson I think we can take away. Even those closest to Christ can lose sight of Him. You know, even those walking closely with Him at one moment can lose sight of it. It can happen to anyone. No one is immune. You know, if you think about it, it's hard to imagine anyone who have had a greater sense of responsibility and a greater desire to hang on to Jesus, so to speak, than his parents, Mary and Joseph. I mean, some of you have lost a child maybe in the mall, right? And that panic feeling, you know, and just that closeness, that sense of responsibility. Imagine Mary and Joseph. They're a day away from Jerusalem, haven't seen him in a day. They check with everybody they know. He's not there. They spend 3 days pouring through Jerusalem, can't find him. Imagine how they felt. And really going into this, these were loving parents. And they loved their child. And I'm sure that their parenting of him was excellent. I mean, he was an exceptional child. And he was going to be an exceptional child by the nature of who he was, but I think that they were excellent parents, loving, protective, godly. God had entrusted his son to this couple, brought them through a lot of things. These were men and women. You know, they went to the Passover every year. They did what the Word of God instructed. They were good parents. You know, and you think of the affinity that you have for your own children, for your own grandchildren. And you know, think about what an encouragement it is when you see a child or a grandchild growing spiritually, and you see him being obedient, and you see him making wise choices, okay? Now imagine that Jesus is your child. I mean, he only makes wise choices. You know, he's always obedient. You know, there's no sin in him whatsoever. The Apostle John makes it clear that from the very beginning, he was full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus never lied. He never disobeyed. He was never mean to his younger siblings. He never did anything wrong, ever. Imagine raising a child like that. You know, imagine just the love and the respect and the concern and the affection Mary and Joseph had for the child Jesus. And add to that, right, they knew of his miraculous conception, okay? Others had been told about it. Most of the other people didn't really believe it. But they knew. They knew for a fact what had happened. And both of them had heard from the lips of an angel that Jesus was going to save his people from their sins. So if there's anybody who had an appreciation of who Jesus really was, who had observed what he was like, who had a love and concern and just natural inclination towards them, it would be Mary and Joseph. And yet it was these very people who lost him on this occasion. You know, then think for a minute about where they lost him. They lost him in Jerusalem, at the temple. You know, now, if they had been visiting some pagan city or maybe kind of the darker parts of Jerusalem where the lowest types of people hung out, maybe you could understand Jesus saying, I can't be in a place like this, and kind of extricating himself away. Of course, we know that later in life, Jesus spent time in some of those places with a heart for people. But we could understand him as a child saying, you know, I'm not going there. That's an unholy environment. If his parents had been irreligious, if they were exposing him maybe to the occult or to worldly philosophies, we might envision him saying, I must be about my father's business. I can't be involved in this. But they're in Jerusalem. And they're there for the Passover feast. And they're focused on what's going on in the temple. And they're there to worship God in the company of God's people in obedience to God's word. And it was in that very proper setting, not some secular worldly place, not in pursuit of selfish goals, but right there in Jerusalem, celebrating the Passover, that they somehow lost Jesus and started home unaware that he was not still with them. So here's the second observation I want to make, the second lesson from this story. Even those who are immersed in the church can get sidetracked. Even those who are actively serving, even those who are involved in worship, even those who love to gather among God's people, even those who do the right things for good reasons, you know, consistently and all the time, even they can lose sight of Jesus. You know, if this could happen to Mary and Joseph in a place like Jerusalem, you and I can certainly lose the sense of the presence of Christ wherever we may be and whatever we may do. You know, you're a faithful group of folks those who come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I mean, this is, you know, humanly speaking, outwardly speaking, this kind of defines those who are faithful and have a heart for the things of God. But folks, I want to say that even us, as we go about our business at home, as we go about doing good things, as we focus on the Lord's house and the work of the ministry, and as we enjoy the fellowship of God's people, even there, even here, our hearts can turn away from Jesus and subtly get turned aside and distracted to look to other things. Maybe good things even, but other things that are not Christ. And we can find ourselves almost unwittingly drifting spiritually and entering into a period where all those things about God and our Savior and His people that seem rich and wonderful and glorious, all that can kind of fade away.